Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Adam McKelvey joining us
from the City of Angels.
This is the promo for our show that was running all day yesterday on The Fan. Tuesday morning on Chuck and Winkler, our Adam McKelvey has had one request for Chuck and I when interviewing him.
Please let's be smart about Josh Hader this week.
But aren't they using him maybe too much? We'll ask that and other dumb questions about Hader Tuesday at 9 a.m. And McKelvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Are they using him too much, Adam?
Are we, well, they're playing way too many close games. In which they lead late, so that is leading to lots of Josh Hader usage. But yesterday was a no-go day, one of those where Craig Counsell told us before the game we're not going to use him. I was surprised he even gave us that. Usually a manager doesn't want to say anything about who's available in his pen, but he said they're not going to use Hader yesterday, and now, as of today, we're not going to know. So maybe they want to give him one more day. Maybe the game will dictate it. I don't know. But they're using him a lot, and so far he's held up. And I would just say again, we talk a lot about Josh Hader's rest. Look at the stuff that he brought against the Cubs on Sunday. It was, 98-4, I think, was his top fastball. When he's rested, he gets the velo. He's the dominant Josh Hader, and that's why they want to rest him as much as possible.
Okay, because I'm just thinking, when he pitches two or more innings, does that mean – does counsel give him any specific amount of days, like 2 or 3 days off, or if he pitches just one inning, he's good to go the next day? I mean, what are his limits that he's going to use Hader?
Well, we saw it yesterday, and, as the season went on and we kind of got, we'd ask over and over about Josh Hader's usage, about, why do you use him for multiple innings and then he's unavailable for a couple of days? Why not? The question was last year. Use him for shorter stints and more often. And look, the answer basically is that the way Hader's arm and body works, they found that he functions better for multiple innings at a time with multiple days off. K-Rod is the guy I always think of as a pitcher that you could pitch every day. K-Rod would go 4 of 5, 5 of 6, 5 in a row. And it would not necessarily phase him. That's the way he was built, and that's the way he worked. Josh Hader doesn't work that way. I don't think he'll ever work that way. Although, look, things change. You give a, maybe his, he grows more into his frame, and that changes. But right now, he is not going to be the kind of guy, I don't think, that gives you 4 out of 5. So they have to think about, how do we get the most innings out of this guy at an elite level? And that's how they've come up with this usage pattern for him. Now, I think they have kind of pushed it this year, and I also think they've bent their quote-unquote rules this year based on having Jeffers and Corey Knebel down to start the season. They've used Hader more as a closer. But I think in that Cubs game, it was an example of a time where you throw the closer rules out the window, because Craig Counsell felt like that situation in the seventh inning on Sunday against the Cubs, that was the game right there. And he wanted his best pitcher on the mound for the biggest moment of the game. He did not think Hader was going to finish that game, but a really efficient first full inning of work in the eighth inning got Hader back to the mound for the ninth. So, they're still going to break these closer rules a little bit, and they're going to use him in the spots where they think they can win a game, even if that leaves them exposed the next day. It's that old balance between wanting to win the game today, worry about tomorrow, but then also having to think in the back of your mind a little bit about tomorrow. And that tug of war is already going on 11 or so games into the regular season.
Talking with Adam McKelvey at Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Merola, on the web at merolalaw.com. Jeremy Jeffress will be on with Bill Michaels today about 1:30. Do we have an update on him? And then in the meantime, here's the question that I want to ask you, so I will. Let's say that everyone's available, everyone in the bullpen's available, except for Josh mm-hmm. Hader, and they need a save in the ninth. Who do you think Council trusts the most right now out of that entire group before Jeffress comes back?
Well, to answer on Jeffress, he pitches, I believe, again tonight for San Antonio. I think they want to get him a back-to-back in there. I don't know that it's going to be today and tomorrow. Maybe it'll be like the next outing and the outing after that. At some point over the next week or so, they want to get him a back-to-back to see how he bounces back and how the shoulder is doing and where the velo is at. And then they're talking about having him back in the bullpen during the next homestand. So, you know, we're talking sometime next week that Jeremy Jeffress will be back in Milwaukee. That'll be a big boost for Craig Council because it's a proven guy at the end of games, if he's right. And so far they're encouraged by what the radar gun is telling them about Jeremy Jeffress. The other question, I think we saw the answer one day in Cincinnati where it was Alex Wilson in a 1-0 game. The game where Freddie Peralta pitched 8 innings and they needed a guy to close it in the ninth, and it was Alex Wilson. Now since then he's had a bad outing at Miller Park. He was up yesterday and gotten the game. I think if the Brewers had gone ahead, it might have been Wilson again yesterday. The other guy I think that they're interested in is Junior Guerra. I think they're really interested over a period of weeks here to see how his stuff plays when he's able to just, the phrase the relievers use, let it eat, get out there and just really throw as hard as he can for one inning and then play the splitter off of the power fastball. He's a guy who could be somewhat promising at the end of games. And then if you need a left-hander, if the lineup sets up that way, they're really high on Alex Claudio. And he's pitched a lot so far. It's not been in, like, the huge game-changing situations. So he's flown a little bit under the radar so far, perhaps. But they really like what he does. But look, you know, Alex Wilson, Junior Guerra, and Claudio, these are not the big names. These are not the big, relievers with their own music that come running out of the bullpen. It's a little shaky right now, and getting Jeremy Jeffress back, if he's right, would help a lot to just add another experienced option.
Okay. The heart of the order right now on the offensive side, there's some guys who are struggling there, but Jesus Aguilar is hitting like 129. Is there a lot... Bart and I talked about this yesterday. Is there a longer rope for him, considering his past? Is Thames kind of waiting in the wings there, even though he's not he had an 0-for day the other day. What's the first base spot look like here?
Well, the one thing I'd say is that yesterday everybody was watching the basketball too. So if people were switching between the baseball and basketball
and Monday Night Raw,
and well, that's big too. But it was a loud offer yesterday. He's the Ryan Braun of early 2019, where he's left kind of shaking his head walking back to the dugout because he'll hammer a baseball right at an outfielder, and it's a line out that goes as an offer in the book, but it looks the at bat itself looks great. So he's a guy I think they feel like, based on what the ball looks like coming off his bat, that they feel like this is going to turn. Travis Shaw is really in a quiet period right now where he's got a lot of swing and miss, and he's maybe a little more, the at-bats are not as good for him right now as they are for Jesus Aguilar. And Mike Moustakas was in a deep 0-for going into last night, 0-for 19. And then he broke out a little bit and hit a homer to straightaway center and had a nice day. So that was a good night for Moustakas in terms of getting him going in the middle. But, you know, you're right. The middle of the lineup is not producing very much right now, and it's hurting them because Kane and Yelich are getting on at a really high clip, and the offense, short of a couple of days against the Cubs, is definitely not clicking the way they want it to, and the reason for that is too many guys in the middle that are not swinging the bat. But, you know, they don't start thinking about changes, if that's the direction we're going, until, you know, maybe 100 plate appearances, maybe 150. You know, I think it is worth remembering this is 11 games and how everything gets so magnified early. And Orlando Arcia is an example of not getting too caught up in that when it happens early, because he was, what, 0 for 13 or 0 for 17 and now has totally turned it around and become really good at the bottom of the order. And, you know, some of these other guys can do that pretty quickly in a couple of game period, and all of a sudden the numbers look a lot different than they look right now. So, you know, they're going to get a leash. At some point for Aguilar, there's, you know, you've got Eric Thames behind him, so it's the question is always, well, who do you put in there instead? And in that case, there's a pretty good player that you can answer, but I think it's 100 or so plate appearances before they start thinking about that.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. I think of the three young guys, he'll be the best one out of them, but I saw enough people online to ask you about Corbin Burnes. Is there any concern that he's giving up, you know, home run balls? I mean, he's striking out a lot of guys, but is it 5 home runs he's given up in the 2 starts?
Well, it's kind of you to say 5 because it's actually 6.
See?
And this was a nice little bit of history. The last Brewers pitcher to give up 3 homers in back-to-back games was Jason Bure in 2000. And, you know, with due respect to Jason Bure, that's probably not a list Corbin Burnes thought he was going to join in his first 2 major league starts, because he's not been a big home run guy in the minor leagues. You know, it's this early start stuff gets repetitive, but it is worth thinking about that it's 10 major league innings as a starter. It's 2 big league starts. And if you want to start drawing conclusions, which, you know, you guys are on social media as well, and that's in full force right now, I would say you're in the wrong job, because if you can judge whether this guy is a starter in the major leagues based on 2 starts and 10 innings, and you're not a professional scout drawing a paycheck for these analyses, then I would suggest that you're missing a big opportunity.
I'm detecting sarcasm from Sir Adam McKelvey.
He's the greatest scout I've ever seen. Look, he's good, and you know they know that he's good in the pen. Maybe that is Corbin Burnes' future. I guess I would be surprised, because he, of all of those pitchers, is the most complete in terms of the repertoire. It's a complete 4-5 pitch guy. If you separate the fastball sinker into 2, he's a 5 pitch guy. Great poise, mound presence, bulldog, all the intangible things that you want on top of the stuff. Fantastic slider to go with the fastball. He's got all the tools, as Council put it, after the last start, to be a really good major league starting pitcher. And they're not going to make decisions about sending him back to the bullpen after 2 starts. That would just not make any sense, and it would give you no chance of ever developing a starting pitcher of your own. And they need to develop starting pitchers of their own to be good, because of the economics that this team operates under. So they're going to give him opportunity to do it. He definitely needs to start keeping the ball in the park. And they're analyzing, you know, sort of what's going on those to try to fix it. Big outing next time against the Dodgers at Dodgers Stadium. It's a great place to pitch. It's a great place to keep the ball in the park, if anything, although that hasn't stopped Cody Bellinger and the Dodgers from hitting 6 million home runs so far. But it's at least it's more of a pitcher's park, and a good opportunity for Corbin. If he can have a good outing against the Dodgers, it probably silences a lot of this talk pretty quick.
My early take on this 25-man roster, I don't like Gamble as the 4th outfielder. Championship level team, yeah, they got. Oh yeah, he's not. He's not a 4th. I mean, you know, you could put him on the Padres. You could put him on, You know, Arizona as the fourth outfielder, that's fine. But not a team that I want to win World Series. They got to do better than that in a fourth outfielder.
Oh, he's getting too much. Gamble is one of the good, pleasant surprises.
Oh,
early.
God.
I'm serious.
Defensively, fine. But what? Tell me, what does he do offensively that excites you?
Oh, I thought he's actually. I thought he's a guy also has been hitting the ball pretty hard. And, his at bats, I thought, have been good. I honestly would have put him as one of the sort of bright spots so far. He's not been Domingo Santana. Domingo Santana's off to a pretty solid start out in Seattle.
God, I wish they could have that trade back. I wish they had that.
But
trade
where
back.
Was Santana going to fit?
Oh,
I mean,
well, you know what? If Gamble's going to be the fourth outfielder, I'll take Santana over Gamble every day of the week.
But then you don't have the what do you have with Gamble is the left-handed. You have the lefty bat that makes sense to when Braun gets his days.
Gamble's hitting 222. How can you be excited about that, Adam? Eight strikeouts and 18 at bats.
I don't know. I would give him a chance to let it play a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think he's as a fourth outfielder, I think he's fine. And look, if he doesn't do it and you don't like him, and that's another area where they've got what's next. Because Tyrone Taylor is off to a really good start in the minor leagues. I think he's probably the first guy up when they need an outfielder, which they will. He's another right-handed bat, so that, you know, there's not the platoon opportunity. But they have some outfielders in the minors. Corey Ray's maybe next.
Yeah, I'm talking about trading deadline. Let's get us a fourth outfielder in here. Let's get us some veteran in here.
I would just suggest give him more than 22 yeah. at bats.
Well, I wouldn't say to me he's an early one of the best surprises on the team. Not to me. I don't know. I mean, you think so? I don't. Bart, do you think so? Guy's 4 of 18 with 8 Ks. That 222. Disappointing. I don't see a lot of Gamble.
Well, I'm just looking at, you know, I think right now if you're looking at the results of it,
yeah.
you get yourself into big trouble because a two-hit game, a two-for-two game, and it looks totally different. So I would avoid looking too much at the stat sheet right
that's,
now.
That's what I'm saying. My early returns after two.
How much you want to bet? I'll bet you that Gamble hits a home run tonight. You give me 4-1 odds, Chuck?
Oh, I don't even want to bet those stupid bets anymore. We get ourselves in trouble with that. We get ourselves in trouble betting like that.
Well, yeah.
We do.
All right, Adam.
We get in trouble.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah, Matt Harvey tonight. I got to go look at the splits again. Is Harvey a guy?
Matt Hardy?
Matt Hart, yeah. I'd like to see Matt Harvey in WWE. That'd be good.
I would like to see
Dark Knight. He could come out with the whole Batman theme.
Yeah, I would like to see that too. All right, man. We will check in with you next Monday. We appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.